13 years before his conversion, John Wesley had a conversation one night with a porter from his college. The porter had only one coat. He had eaten no food that day, and yet he was filled with gratitude to God. Wesley said to him, "You thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie upon. What else do you thank him for?" The porter replied, "I thank him that he has given me my life and being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him." We've had snow in London this week after about 4 years, and it's been pretty cold. But you and I haven't needed to worry about a roof over our heads. Most of us here need not be anxious about where our next meal will come from. He has given us life and being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him. The question for us today is, what is your story? What is your testimony? Christmas is literally around the corner. And while several of us may be filled with joy and anticipation about what the celebrations this season brings, some of us may be nervous and anxious about our plans for the day. Maybe you still don't know who you will be spending the day with. Maybe you're pained by the loss or absence of a loved one. Either someone who is no longer alive, or someone who has been estranged from you. Or maybe you've got a big family gathering planned, and you're not even sure all of you will get through the day in peace. Let's turn to his word, for it offers us the promise and assurance we need today. To tell of his goodness and the abundance of his grace that we experience in our lives. The Thessalonian church was young, and they needed help and encouragement. Both the persecutions they faced and the temptations of their pagan culture were potential stumbling blocks for these new Christians. Paul therefore wrote to strengthen their faith and their resistance to persecution and temptation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a checklist that Paul provided to help the church get ready for Jesus' second coming. Reading from verse 16 onwards, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Our joy, prayers, and thankfulness should not fluctuate with our circumstances and feelings. Obeying these three commands can often go against our natural inclinations. I'd like to spend some time dwelling on these three aspects: Paul's exhortations to the church in Thessalonica and to the church even today. And while we do that, let's examine our hearts and ask if this is true of the lives we live. Rejoice always. As Christians, do we experience despair and sadness? Of course we do. And so did the author of this letter, Paul, as did Jesus. The shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is "rejoice always." But the shortest verse in the English New Testament is "Jesus wept." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul describes himself as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, he tells us, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." He does not say, "Tell those who weep to stop weeping and start rejoicing." This command to rejoice always is not a matter of feelings, but rather a matter of obedience. When we go through trials, we have a choice. We can either focus on our trials and wallow in despair, or we can choose to set our minds on things above and know that he is still in control. There are times when I struggle to let go, but what I have found really useful is to pour my heart out to Jesus, as David does in the Psalms. The psalm usually begins with the psalmist crying out to God in the midst of despair. By the end of the psalm, we find him praising God and rejoicing, even though his circumstances have not yet changed. What changed was his deliberate focus on God. When we sing, we claim the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, and we glorify God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul exhorts us to let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Pray without ceasing. What does it mean to do this without ceasing? It can often be likened to a hacking cough or a severe allergy, which can be frequent and persistent. Bible commentaries explain that whilst we're not likely to spend all of our time on our knees, it is possible to have a prayerful attitude at all times. This attitude comes from acknowledging our dependence on God, realizing his presence within us, and being committed to obeying him. So how can we do this in practical ways? Send up frequent and spontaneous prayers. When you think of a loved one or a friend, send up a short prayer for him or her. When someone asks you to pray for some need, don't promise to pray later and then forget. Pray right then and there with the person. This is something that we do quite frequently here in St. Stephen's. And I'm sure several of you would agree with me that it has helped to strengthen and edify us while seeing God at work in our midst. This is not a substitute, though, for a regular time of prayer and studying God's word. This is a real struggle for me, and may also be for some of you with the busy lives we lead. This is something I continually seek God for. In everything, give thanks. Paul was not teaching that we should thank God for everything that happens to us, but in everything. Thanksgiving comes from a place of knowing God as our Savior and trusting that he knows best. When we trust, we give thanks. When we do not trust, we grumble. Do you and I need a reminder of his goodness this morning? Let's turn to the Bible. The beauty of the Bible is that it does not hide the follies of his people. It is an account of God's faithfulness towards his people. Whether in captivity in the land of Egypt and up against the wrath of Pharaoh, in the desert as they travel towards the promised land, or even in the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. It is a reminder of the unconditional love that we have received from the Father, and the love that we can continue to experience in relationship with his Son Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the basis for our continued love affair with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer God. When have you been most aware of God's presence, of his power and love, of his help and strength that we so need? How did you respond? David the shepherd, David the king, wrote psalms, beautiful lines of verse, as he admired God's handiwork and the beauty of his creation, but also when he found himself in the midst of despair and struggled to live the life that God had called him to. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? Like a shepherd, the Lord longs to protect you, provide for you, rescue you, and comfort you, so that like David we can boast, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Let's pause briefly and dwell on our preparations for Christmas in the light of this passage. What is it that causes you to rejoice this Advent season? What is it that you need to take to him in prayer? What can you give thanks for today? I'd like to urge you to take a minute or two to think about this. Share with the person next to you. And take the time to briefly pray for one another. Let's pause for a few minutes to share and pray. I'd like to encourage you to think of the person who has shared with you today and commit to praying for them over the Christmas weekend. In conclusion, I'd like to share a story about Robert Reed, an American who went to Portugal as a missionary and lived there for 35 years. He currently volunteers in the John Middleton State Prison in Texas, where along with his wife Rosa, they minister to inmates and tell them about the love of Jesus. Robert Reed once said, "I have everything I need for joy." His hands are twisted. His legs do not work. He cannot bathe himself or brush his teeth or comb his hair. His shirts are held together by Velcro. Robert Reed has cerebral palsy. Because of the disease, he's not able to drive a car or go for a walk. But it did not keep him from attending school or graduating with a Latin degree from a Christian university, teaching in St. Louis Junior College, or even venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. In 1972, he went to Portugal alone. He rented a room in a hotel and began to learn Portuguese. He hired the help of a restaurant owner to feed him after the rush hour and instruct him in the language. He stationed himself daily in a park and distributed tracts and brochures about Jesus. Within 6 years, he had led 70 people to Jesus, including Rosa, who later became his wife. I read recently about one of Robert Reed's preaching assignments. He was carried to the platform in his wheelchair and a Bible laid in his lap. He struggled to turn the pages of his Bible with his stiff fingers. He could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he did just the opposite. He raised his bent hand in the air and boasted, "I have everything I need for joy." His shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by joy. What is your story? Do you and I stand on his promises? Do we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks? We've all got a story to share. This Christmas, let's make it one that tells of his love and faithfulness. And that could be the best gift yet that you can give. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.